So, Berto, have you heard of the incel community on the internet? 4chan, Reddit, the incel community?
Are you suggesting that incels, 4chan, and Reddit are all equivalent?
No, I'm just saying incels on Reddit,
incels
on 4chan.
Yes.
Are you familiar with incels?
Like involuntary celibates?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you know about them?
Not entirely much, although it's kind of the idea of, darn it, women, you know, something wrong with women. Like, no matter what I've tried, I can't get a woman to like me. I think they're all evil, and it's not my fault. I'm sitting here doing what I can, and darn it, darn the world, but let's stick together.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up in a nice way. So I've been getting a number of emails over the past few months asking me to talk about incels, and I was a bit, I get emails like this all the time, and I thought, well, I've already talked about MGTOW, you know, men going their own way. You and I have talked about
it. Which is related, I guess.
Yeah.
Although they decided to go their own way.
Right. And I've done many episodes on the pickup artist community, which I think is, you know,
it's related.
Kind of related. I've done episodes on masculinity and, you know, all these kinds of stuff. And I just feel like, haven't we already talked enough about this thing? And, but what eventually someone, so actually someone emailed me the other week and I was like, you're like the, I don't know, a couple dozen people have asked me this week to talk about this. Did something happen?
Some incel apocalypse?
And something did. It's actually a tragic event, which we'll get into. So let's introduce the podcast. This is the Psychology in Seattle podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kirk Honda. I'm a therapist, a professor, and a non-involuntarily celibate.
Non-incel? Non-incel?
Yeah.
Wait, that doesn't work.
No.
Anti-incel?
Yeah, I don't know.
My name is Humberto Castañeda, and I am a coach for those who want to learn how to huff and puff better.
So, yeah, this starts off with a tragedy in Toronto. Did you know what the tragedy in Toronto?
Not sure.
Earlier this year, a guy driving a van like ran over a bunch of people.
I've heard of that. Was that an incel?
Did you know about
the... I guess that sounds familiar. That was this year, huh?
Did you know... But I remember hearing about the one in France.
Yeah.
And then there was... Wasn't there another one in London?
I remember...
What's bizarre to me is I hadn't even heard about this. I hadn't even heard about this news report.
Maybe I am confused because I've heard of these vans running people over.
Yeah.
But maybe I didn't know about this one.
Yeah, Toronto. One in Canada.
Right.
I feel like... You know, I would have heard about that, but I don't. We've heard about the one in North Carolina during the was that North Carolina
during the it was a car, right?
Yeah, Charlottesville.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I do remember hearing about the Canada thing.
Okay, well, I didn't.
I don't think I knew that was connected to incels.
Yeah, and I'm sure people in Canada are like, Kirk, you haven't heard about this.
Sure.
You know, it's kind of like they're 9/11. You know what I mean? In some ways.
Lots of people died.
Yeah, 10 people died.
Wow.
10 people. And it's Canada's deadliest mass killing in, you know, decades.
Forever. Yeah.
So essentially what happened, and I'm not going to name the attacker because as a policy, I'm not doing that because when we name the attacker or when we
glorifies,
when we go into the gory details, it actually encourages people to do this. So, this guy in Canada from Toronto rented a van and ran over a bunch of people purposefully on a footpath and 10 people died and many others were injured. He was confronted by the police, and from what I can tell, what I'm reading in news reports is that he had a fake gun, something that kind of looked like a gun, and he kept like reaching for it as the police were trying to arrest him.
Suicide by cop.
Right. And he even said, like, in the head, you know, shoot me in the head. In other words, like, don't just injure me, kill me.
Right.
And the officers, you know... Because they're Canadian and not American, I guess, like, refrain from actually shooting the guy.
Oh, wow. In American, the United States, it would have been a...
Yeah, I think that's I don't know the difference between Canadian police and police in the United States, but
I've seen this in London too, like an armed suspect with a knife.
Yeah.
And they still manage to subdue the
right.
suspect.
Yeah, by policy in the United States, if you're dangerous and it looks like you might have a gun somewhere within a mile of your body, then, you know,
they were pulling out the AK.
Yeah, they just start blasting away, you know.
Yeah,
and so now, of course, there are exceptions to that. Maybe even the majority of police do that, but we've certainly seen a lot of cases. But anyway, so these Toronto police didn't shoot him, like, which is
That's
I just
incredible.
Yeah, incredible. And they got close enough to realize that it wasn't a real gun, and then they detained him. So he didn't even have a gun on him.
So is he in prison?
Yeah. So he's being detained, and he's still the alleged van.
I see.
Because he hasn't been convicted yet, but let's just look a little bit about the guy. He's 25, or was at the time of the killings. I saw a report that he was in an autism spectrum class in high school.
Mm.
Whether or not he had autism or not, I don't know.
Okay.
But, you know, that's something.
Like a special ed type of...
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think specifically for autism.
For autism.
He was a software as an adult. He worked as a software developer, mobile app developer.
Okay.
And just before, so just after the attack, they started looking at his internet activity, and they found that on Facebook, just before the attack, he posted something that referred to the Incel Rebellion. Have you heard of this Incel Rebellion?
No.
Can you imagine what?
Yes.
It
sounds like a more aggressive version of the MGTOW, men going their own way thing. Like, you know, that's it. We've had it. We're rebelling against women, their evil ways,
and society too.
And society,
right? Like I don't know what. It's just so weird. We'll get into that later, but yeah. So he posted something about the Incel Rebellion. I didn't know about it either. I looked into it. It's a thing. It's a known thing in the Incel community.
I mean, they must be hurting a lot.
Yeah, we'll get into that too. And he expressed admiration for the Isla Vista killer. The killer in 2014. I won't name his name either.
Was that the France one or something?
No, Isla Vista, California.
That thing, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. The most well-known MGTOW incel
who
killer.
Who was like also on the spectrum maybe? Or
not. Well, I did an entire, I think I did like 2 hours on him.
Yeah,
if you want to look at, that's I think it might even be our most popular video on YouTube.
But it was definitely part of that community.
Yeah. But he wasn't, he was definitely mentally suffering. And to be clear, right from the start, autism doesn't cause people to kill people.
Of course not.
But when you suffer from mental conditions that make it hard to relate to other people, mm-hmm. then that leads to rejection and pain and suffering and demoralization and hopelessness and suicidal thoughts and thoughts of revenge.
Right.
So there are many routes. So right from the start, I just want to say that, you know, I did the deep dive on suicide. And one of the things that emerged for me, that one of the gestalts that emerged for me as I did, you know, 3 months of in-depth research, thinking, writing, talking, developing, and talking on the podcast for 13 hours, is that these killings, these mass killings, 98% of them, just, you know, rough number, they either kill themselves or it's clear that they wanted to be killed at the end of this encounter.
Yeah.
Or that they wanted to be put to death if they were caught. These men, it's almost always men, are suicidal. Who is suicidal? And that's the question that I feel like is not being answered about these mass killings. It's usually about, oh, the incel community, you know, got them to do this, or video games, or mental health, or the proliferation of guns, or, you know, lack of mental health services, or video games, or there's always these things. But to me, the central feature to all of these incidents is that these individuals want to die themselves.
Yeah.
Why do they want to die?
And what there's a superset there of because obviously there's a lot of people that want to die and then just go kill themselves.
That's right.
They have this additional, like, I'm going to see if I can take some portion of some community with me.
That's right. There are a lot of people. So there's a Venn diagram. There's a lot of people who want to kill themselves. And then there's another set of people who want to take revenge on society.
Right.
There's not a lot of people in that category. But when you overlap those two, that's when you get these mass killings.
Yeah.
So the vast majority of people who want to get revenge on society never take action on it because they don't want to die. They don't want to get hurt, and they don't want to go to jail. They want to have a good life. So they'll keep it to fantasy. They'll keep it to ranting and ravings. They'll keep it to the internet. They'll keep it to watching revenge movies or whatever. And that'll be that, you know, and they'll just be annoying to their friends. And when they get drunk, they'll rant and rave about this and that. And that'll be that. But they won't actually take action because they're not pushed over the edge. Now, you combine that sort of person who is also suicidal and like, well, who might even, I'm guessing a lot of these guys are in their room with a gun to their head and saying, well, wait a second.
Yeah.
Maybe I can do something with the last breath of my life.
Right.
You know, maybe, why not? I'll be dead anyway.
Right.
And so the real solution to me, after doing the deep dive on suicide, is how to prevent what the factors that lead to suicide.
Yeah.
And those factors generally, according to empirical observation, are what, do you think?
Okay, let's see. Factors that lead to suicide.
To all suicides. Not even just, you know, these
depression.
Kinds. No. I mean, that's a factor, but more specifically, though.
Okay, isolation. There's plenty, yes.
So there's plenty of people who are... who kill themselves who aren't depressed.
Okay.
It's a misnomer that like, oh, if you kill yourself, you must be depressed. It's not the case.
Okay.
So, but yes, isolation. But particularly what they call it in the theoretical literature is thwarted belongingness, which I like
thwarted
that.
Thwarted belongingness. Okay.
Yeah. So you want to belong. It's not just isolate. Because some people are isolated, but they
want to be loners.
They don't feel thwarted, you know? So if you feel thwarted...
Like they lost their job, their 20-year-long job or something.
Or they can't get a woman to date them.
Sure.
Or they've gone through
a divorce or something.
Or they reach out to friends and no one will call them back.
Sure.
Or a group of bullies have humiliated you at school.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, just all the things
just
you
a
can...
Major, it could also be like a very, very major setback in life. Like you lost everything to a hurricane or you...
Right. So, but that, if you feel like you belong, you are not likely to become suicidal. So you can lose everything. You can have a terminal illness according to general averages. If you feel like you belong, like you're connected, really connected, like you can really trust people, you can really trust your medical providers or whomever is involved in your situation, then it will stop you from taking that leap to thinking about suicide. So you have to have a number of things. You have to have thwarted belongingness, basically rejected isolation, and you have to be hopeless about it. There has to be something that leads to hopelessness.
So, I mean, like I was mentioning the divorce because, like, wasn't the comedian,
Robin Williams?
Robin Williams. Wasn't he married and then went through a painful divorce? And
I don't know that factor, but his suicide is actually a little bit more of a mystery because he had been depressed and suicidal for decades of his life. Mm-hmm. From what I understand, his early life wasn't that great and had... maybe even attempted at different points of his life. He goes into detail about this on the WTF podcast with Mark Maron. Do you listen to that podcast?
You've told me about it.
Yeah,
several times.
It's a good podcast.
Yeah.
He recently had an episode with Anna Faris up from Edmonds, Washington up here, and she went to UW. She might have gone to UW with you, actually.
Oh, that'd be crazy.
Yeah. But she's a weird one. Yeah.
Didn't she break up, or they broke up?
They were our Northwest power couple.
Yeah,
you know, they were our Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Yep,
Chris Pratt and Anna Faris. Anyway, so well, what's funny was in the beginning of their relationship, I was like, "Oh, Chris Pratt really married up," Because, you know, Chris Pratt was just like...
Right. At the time, he was just in Parks and Rec.
Like a secondary character.
Yeah.
And then eventually it was like, oh, Anna Faris is marrying up. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Anyway, so Robin Williams later in life started developing Parkinson's. And then he went on a medication. So there's no way to know, but yeah. It could have been independent of his Parkinson's meds. He could have just, you know, finally said, I'm going to do
right.
it. Or the Parkinson's diagnosis, the notion of losing his abilities could have caused him to become hopeless and isolated and want to kill himself. Or the Parkinson's disease itself can actually alter your personality to such an extent that you can cause you to kill yourself or cause you to want to kill yourself.
I find it interesting that both him and Michael J. Fox, when you think about them young, like it's a key thing about them that they were spastic. You know, whenever you imagine him, Michael J. Fox acting, so it's like, what's going on with what? You know, it's like spastic. And it was funny. It was entertaining.
Definitely Robin Williams, but I wouldn't call Michael J. Fox.
I mean, I just rewatched the Back to the Future, and he was pretty young then. And, I mean, it comes off as like, oh, man, that guy's full of energy. But once you know what you know, you're like, wow, I wonder if he had a hard time like staying still even back then.
Could be.
Not like to that extent, but just more like something drove him to like always be on the move, like second to second kind of thing.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah.
And he was also on a medication for Parkinson's that has been known to increase suicidal thoughts.
Oh, wow.
So people are thinking it's the medication. I'm thinking there's no way anyone would know. It could have been a totally independent factor that no one even knows about.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you have thwarted belongingness, you have hopelessness, and you have some sort of psychological pain. So, you know, whether... That's so for a lot of, so if we're looking at the incel people, it's because they feel like they can never be a man. They can never get the girl. They can never have sex. They can never be a part of society. They can never have love. They can never have a family. They can never be accepted by their own family because they're 25 and living alone and playing video games all day. They're being rejected by society or whatever, you know, that's the pain that, yeah. that they're experiencing. And then the fourth factor is you have to have some means. You have to have some way to do it, which you actually have to develop over time. It's, you know, because people don't just like have the idea for the first time to kill themselves and just grab a gun and shoot themselves.
Right.
It's pretty rare. Usually it's like, okay, how am I going to do it? Can I do that? Am I capable of doing that? How do I get that? You know, it's like, so anyway. So you combine that with someone who is, you know, wanting to take revenge on the world, and, you know, then you're going to have what you have. And I just feel like the media and society and, frankly, mental health professionals aren't focusing on that factor. I mean,
right.
Do you ever hear people talking about these mass killings as essentially a suicidal person doing something horrible?
No.
Right. No. You hear about someone doing something horrible, period. They're just doing something horrible.
You certainly hear the mental health angle, but
right.
you don't hear specifically the suicidal angle.
Right. You hear that the narrative almost seems like, you know, they wanted to take revenge or they wanted to do this horrible thing or they're crazy and they don't know what they're doing and they kill a bunch of people. And then as the police were, you know, coming in on them, they decided to take their own life. The narrative is like, that's when they made that choice to kill themselves. But to me... Again, there's no way to know, but I would suspect the very beginning of this process was a suicidal thought.
Yeah, it doesn't, and usually there doesn't seem to be like, and they had this getaway plan that didn't work.
Right.
You never really hear about a getaway plan.
No, it's clear from all of these cases that they plan on dying. You know, there's no disguise. They're driving their own car.
Right.
You know, that sort
And they're
of
never like shot on their way out as they're fleeing.
Right.
Yeah. In fact, a lot of times they shoot themselves.
So before we get into more of this, let's take a break. What do you say, Berto?
Let's do it.
All right. We're back from the break. If you haven't become a patron, do so now. Go to patreon.com. When you become a patron, you get to sleep well at night knowing that you're not being a mooch, you MFers. Just joking. Okay, so getting back to incels and this guy. So this guy, again, he posts just before the incident when he runs over a bunch of people, killing 10 people. He references the incel rebellion, and he expressed admiration for the Isla Vista killer of 2014. It should be noted that a majority of the victims were women. I don't know if he was planning on that, but people ranging from their mid-20s to their early 80s. Just imagine that. Just killing, it's so upsetting.
Well, so one thing that has to be part of this equation is not just the suicidal aspect, but the lack of empathy too.
Right. Yeah. Well, so, which I'm assuming you're referring to what we call psychopathy.
Maybe. I just mean, like, to sit there and say, you know, I'm going to go and take away these people from the world, from all their relatives, their family, their friends, and not even go through that mental process of like, gosh, is that right? Or no, it's just like, yep, I'm doing that.
So I know, and we've had this conversation before, and I'm glad you're bringing it up, because it's I find that even mental health clinic, I would imagine most mental health clinicians would have a similar philosophy that basically backs up what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And there's no way to know the truth here, but yeah. The philosophy is, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that there's everyone else, and then there's this small set of people who lack something that prevents them from doing these kinds of bad things, right?
Oh, yeah, meaning like that...
They lack empathy. There's something different.
Right.
There's something different and dysfunctional and pathological right. about this group of people that can cause them to do this. The rest of us are not capable of such a thing.
Or that it turned off somehow.
Turned off yeah. somehow. Or well, what do you mean?
Diminished somehow.
By?
Oh, by...
Trauma.
Drugs, trauma, okay. something, yeah.
So, if I were to say, you know, I had a hamburger today... Would you say that there was something in my brain, something different about me that caused me to have a hamburger today, that motivated me to eat a hamburger today?
I mean, it might have. You're talking to maybe the wrong person, but it could have been, yeah.
Well.
Depends. If you'd never have eaten hamburgers and all of a sudden you decided to have a hamburger, I would be curious, like what changed? But if you sometimes have hamburgers and sometimes you don't, then I wouldn't be curious.
Okay, well, then let's take it to your weird example. I've never had a hamburger in my life.
Right.
And then one day I decided to have a hamburger.
Right.
Is there something pathological or different or...
Not pathological. I would just be curious. Like, oh, how come?
How come? But yeah. You wouldn't say, oh, you represent a small subset of humans who lack something human about you that causes you to do X, Y, or Z. And I bring up the hamburger, just that's what just popped in my head. Insert any behavior.
Sure.
Wearing purple pants.
Sure.
Becoming a Republican. Moving to Canada. You know, there's a lot of different behaviors that humans do, but there's only a small subset of behaviors that we as a society in the West and also among mental health people that we say, oh, that indicates pathology.
But it's no coincidence that it's the stuff that threatens us the most. Because if a lot of people started not having empathy, we would probably fear that society is going to dissolve.
Absolutely. So that's why we focus on it. But the solution to that anxiety of what does this mean or what's happening is not to throw away or to... adhere to pseudoscience, essentially, mm-hmm. which is this notion that there's empirically something different about these people. Now, if I hear that this guy, which I haven't heard anything, I did a little bit of reading. I didn't read a lot, but for everything, all accounts, people actually said he was absolutely harmless. Like he was a nice guy who was socially awkward but it never harmed anybody. Now, you know, who knows? Maybe his family will come forward and say that he was...
Like Dahmer.
Yeah, that he was, you know, harming animals in the backwoods and hiding...
Oh, yeah, no, I meant like because everyone said the same thing about Dahmer.
I know.
Like he was harmless.
I know. So who knows? But there are many people who do these kinds of things who have never done anything along those lines.
Right.
So the notion that this kind of behavior is only done by the people on that other side of this whatever kind of line people are defining, it's not found in the evidence, and it's not comforting to think about that. Basically, what that tells us is that pretty much anyone can just decide. You, Umberto, I, Kirk, can decide tomorrow to do this exact same thing if we wanted to. There's yes. And I'm not psychopathic. You're not psychopathic. But if we decided to do something like this, we could do it. It doesn't. There's not like a function in the brain that says does not compute, can't drive across, you know, can't take action against other human beings. Well, we'll have an experience about that for sure, but we could do it. We absolutely could, especially if we were hopeless and in pain and had a internet echo chamber telling, and we were susceptible to that sort of cult-like experience on the internet.
Yes, so I guess I look at it like this. Any one of us could right now try to eat 200 hot dogs slathered with mayo. We could.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't for several reasons. Many of us would find that gross, but also we would probably fear for our lives, literally. Like, we might die if we ate 200 hot dogs slathered in mayo.
But think about all the stupid things you've done.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. Some people, let's say one day you're like, oh my gosh, I just got back from this, you know, town, and they had a pie eating contest. And dude, I wound up in the hospital. Like, they had to like pump my stomach. I could have died. I would say something like, what were you thinking?
Right.
How, that's not like you. How did you all of a sudden decide that was a good idea? Right. Like, I would say something like that. Because when you graph people on a curve, there's 95 or greater percent of people don't on a daily basis injure their bodies by overeating. Right?
But another way to put that statistic is everyone right now is doing something unique. Everyone is doing something that no one else has ever done before. So,
but you can group it into sets and
but that's my point. What's our definition?
Well, but that's like saying like you can't, right? But I'm saying that you can, because you can say, look, it's true that we all have the physical capability of inflicting harm, but, and then you can try to rationalize all the reasons, but for whatever set of reasons, if when you draw us on a curve, most people,
what
day,
curve though? That's the thing.
What I'm saying is, if you like pulled or just looked around, is like on a daily basis, how many people kill people? Well, very few, right? So like most people are not killing people,
right?
Why? We have the capability. Yeah. We don't like people. There's a lot of people we don't like.
Sure.
So what's the difference? There must be some difference.
Okay, so that's the question. Yeah. What's the difference?
Right.
It could be something that we're not looking at, or it could be something quite arbitrary, like it just sort of they had an increase in the sense of well-being related to that action. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be something pathologically wrong with their amygdala or their empathy center.
Absolutely. But that's different from what I said, which is, because it is, I do think that one factor that plays into our decisions every day is whether or not we care for someone else. Because if for example, I am at work and there's a line to get food and I see an opening and no one's looking and I can cut in, the less I care about those people in line, the more I'm probably just going to do that. Man. But if I like care at all about like, well, they've been waiting in line, I'll just go stand in line too, then I'll probably go stand in line. So, you know, that amount of empathy played into that decision. Similarly, I'm not saying it's the only sole driving factor, but it's interesting that the amount of empathy these people are experiencing did not override all the other shit that was going on in their heads.
Okay, great. So they could either have a tremendous amount of empathy, but also an overwhelming amount of reasons to do it, or they could have no empathy and little reason to do it.
Sure.
It's there's no way to know that answer. And the way, forensic psychologists talk about this is they will talk about it in terms of like a certainty. Mm-hmm. That man is psychopathic. He has a pathological condition. And then the masses believe all that stuff. And it's like, in 100 years, they're going to look back and say, man, you guys had, you know, you were about 10% there, but like, man, did you not know what we know today
sure.
about how the brain works and decision making and all that kind of stuff? And it's just not that simple as a thing. Right. So we don't know. And from what I can tell, the little I know about this guy is there wasn't anything particular about him that indicated that he would do anything like this, you know, and that's scary. We don't want that to be the conclusion. We want to be like, he was deranged and he had a history and people neglected the signs and they should have done something. And it's just like, from all accounts, it was like, nope, just a regular guy, you know?
Well, and there are, cause you know, in the case of Columbine, it's quite different, right? That there were a lot of signs. They weren't. Not everyone listed them. Oh, they were harmless. They were, you know, innocent. They were like, and while they were on their killing spree, they exhibited continuous lack of human empathy to the extreme, and definitely had planned to kill each other because they actually had planned that one would shoot each. Like they would literally pull the trigger on each other at the same time, right? So like all these things are on a much, I don't know, premeditated, higher premeditated level, more except, cause like one thing is, you know, I'm at the bursting point. I'm going to drive this car and take some people with me. Right. And I don't know all the details. Right. But another thing is like plan something for a long time, stack up the weapons, order the grenades, do whatever, have like this elaborate plan, go carry it out methodically from classroom to classroom, look at people in the face, shoot them, keep going. Like that's a different level. So then
different level of what?
Well, of sociopathy or psychopathy or whatever.
No, that's my point is that's a wonderful narrative.
Well, then we need new words, because if you want to tell me that you can group these things together, then we have no ability to make different groups.
No. No, we have plenty. There are people with penises. There are people with vaginas. Right. There are people with things in between.
What I'm saying is like,
and there are people who kill people and there are people who don't.
No, see, that's too broad of a category.
But there's no way to differentiate among people who do things like Columbine. We can say, boy, did they lack empathy. And they had a pattern of behaviors or statements or things that they said about their inner experience that we can frame or construct as a quote unquote lack of empathy and psychopathy. And these are useful things. I'm not saying they're not useful labels. I'm just saying they're not real things. They're not scientific hard facts. And to rely on such things
neither is lack of belongingness.
True. But I wouldn't say that like, so good. When you ask people who are suicidal, they will say they feel a lack of belongingness.
Sure.
But you can't point to something in the brain. But when we talk about a feeling of lack of belongingness, we tend not to frame it as something pathological. When we talk about Columbine and these other people, we tend to frame it as a pathology. Like there's something wrong with their brain.
Well, if by wrong we mean dangerous to us, yes.
Fine. You can say dangerous to us. We can say like problematic. We can say immoral by all means.
Self-pathology is dangerous to oneself. Like you have a pathological, you know, bug in your system that could kill you, right? Like there's a pathology there. So maybe
with that, you can actually find the bug and discover the mechanism at which the bacteria is causing a problem.
You might, right? Like for most of human history, you couldn't do that. But even now, there are some things that still evade us a bit, like cancer. We know what it's doing, but we don't really know how to stop it.
We can find the cancer. We can't find pathology of the brain in terms of psychopathy. There's nothing we can find. And there are certainly lots of, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole. Okay, back to incel.
Yeah.
So involuntarily celibate people are, they call themselves incels. They're similar to the men going their own way people. They're always on the internet. A little bit about them is they talk about Chads and Stacys. You know who Chads and Stacys are?
No.
Can you imagine who Chads and Stacys are?
A Chad is a chump, maybe?
No, Chad is like a alpha or like a Chad.
A Chad is an alpha?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, is that a jock name? Chad?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, see, to me, it sounded like chump or something.
Like a chump. And a Stacy is like a cheerleader.
Okay.
You know? So you got the captain of the football team, Chads, and you have the cheerleader, Stacys. And they hate Chads and Stacys.
They hate Chads and Stacys. Yeah.
And they also hate feminism. Every day, because of the Isla Vista video I have on YouTube, I get emails every day and comments every day from, because it attract, there's a, the Isla Vista killing, there's a large group of people that are a very small minority of people in the United States who are on the internet consuming everything Isla Vista killing. And then they eventually come across, and there's a lot to consume on, on YouTube. There are videos galore on the killing from 4 years ago. And because the guy left behind a manifesto and all these YouTube
videos.
And then
everyone analyzed it and stuff. Yeah.
Right. And everyone has something to say, including me, apparently. Right. And I just, you know, that was just one episode among 800 episodes that I've done. And I remember someone asking me to do that, and it looked particularly interesting. And so I, okay, I'll do this one. And I had no, you know, I do lots of episodes all the time. I do 3 episodes a week, and most of them just, you know, people listen and they move on with their life. But for some reason, this one, you know, it just keeps, you know, producing people reaching out. And all of, many of them will say something like, you know, because I talk for 2 hours about various things. I go into society in terms of mental health, in terms of, you know, all the things that you can connect to a killing like this. And I, they'll say, love the analysis, totally in depth, one of the only professional analyses of the Isla Vista killer around, but you're a fucking cuck because you're a feminist. So at some at some point in this video, I must have mentioned that I was a feminist. I don't know. I don't know why I would have said such a thing, or if I said that directly or something. But like, it's like, God, you know, it. So if you're, I'm gonna label this video something like incels or something. And so if you're one of those people out there, let me explain to you what fucking feminism is. It is the notion that people are treated differently by their gender. And it's not just women, by the way. You can be of any gender and treated unfairly. Mm-hmm. It just so happens that traditionally and historically in our society, women have been getting the short end of the stick more of the time than people who are not women. That isn't to say that people who are not women are not getting the short end of the stick sometimes. You are a man in a nursing school and you're going to be discriminated against. You're a man who goes into a craft store, or you're a man walking down the street with you know, a kid, and you look like a pedophile in terms of what society calls a pedophile, you're going to be discriminated against. Feminism is about gender, power, privilege, politics, awareness, bias, stereotypes, prejudice, mistreatment. That's all that it is. And if you don't acknowledge the fact that that exists, I don't know what to fucking tell you. Right. Now, there are plenty of people out there who are abusing the label of feminism as a sort of tool to rail on other people. And certainly the incel community cherry picks the very few examples that happen to be on the internet of, like, you know, a quote unquote feminist just screaming at someone about, you know, this or that. Yeah, you can find examples of any idiot doing anything for any reason. You know, pro-empathy people are out there doing something like someone's being an asshole about that. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Well, the problem with labels, though, is people can't co-opt them. So, and you can't, just like we don't like when folks say, well, yeah, but that wasn't a true Islamic person, or that wasn't a true, you know, conservative, or that wasn't a true whatever. What happens is that there are pockets of feminism that are perceived by men as extreme because they espouse sort of like men hatred.
Great. Fine. Yeah. And it's true. I've been a part of that. I'm a man, dude. Yeah. I've been I live in a world of women.
Right.
Therapy, especially marriage and family therapy. Are you fucking kidding me? 95% of them are women. And guess what? I have been in a room with, you know, dozens of women talking utter shit about men. Okay?
As have I.
And it feels bad.
Yeah.
But I don't stand up and do anything because I'm not that kind of person. But I walk out of that room going, that was fucking bullshit. Okay? Right. So yeah, there's abuses. People are people.
I think that's what unfortunately, some of the fodder that is given to the people that then say, see why feminism is, you know, the worst thing since sliced potatoes.
But it's interesting that they would cherry pick those examples. Do you know what I mean? Like, why are you so concerned? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's interesting that something that is associated with... So when you... Because when I talk to these people, and I have many of them, I'll be like, I'll say kind of a version of what I'm saying, sort of toned down quite a bit. And they have so much propaganda pumped into their head around, like, it's all a mass conspiracy against men. And they'll bring up like Marxism and shit. And you're just like, why are we bringing up Marxism? Like, women.
Remember that woman who wrote the Communist Manifesto?
Yeah.
And the woman in charge of the Soviet Union?
Right. It's like, women, I'll just go over just like, so can you agree that in the past, you know, say 50 years ago, women weren't treated at, didn't have the same opportunities that men did?
Well, that for the entirety of human history.
But just, I just asked them one question, just like 50 years ago, you know, 1968, did women have the same opportunities? Could, or say 100 years ago?
Sure.
Could women be physicians? Could they be senators? Could they vote? Could they, you know, all these
kinds
of
things. They just didn't pull themselves up by the bootstraps.
Well, no, they can relate to that.
Okay.
But what they can't relate to is that we're still emerging out of that.
Well, but it's the same thing with racism, right? They say,
Well,
200 years ago, that's a long time ago. Why can't you pull yourselves up from your ghettos?
Right. So it's interesting what people will deny. Essentially, we have sexism deniers in the incels, and we have racism deniers who are Trumpites, right? And, or, you know,
whatever-ites.
Whatever, right-wing, anti-whatever sort of people.
Proud Boys.
Yeah. And they, it's just interesting what they choose to deny, right? It's like, you know, the right-wing anti-sexism people, they probably deny sexism too. Anyway, the point is that I interact with these people all the time, I can tell from the way they talk, because they all have the same points, that they have been fed a you know, just years of copious amounts of bullshit into their head. And what emerges is, like, they love me, but then they hate me as soon as I say I'm feminist. Like, everything I say is completely discounted
because
when I mention that I'm a feminist.
Right.
I'm suddenly now, like, the enemy. It's the weirdest fucking thing. It's like, so, you know, you're totally convinced I'm a genius, and then I mention one thing that means to everyone else other than you fucking idiots that sexism is a thing in society, that, you know, bias, people are biased sometimes, some people aren't, some people, but when you average it out over, you know, large groups of people, you know. Just to give you, if you're unaware, I got one question today. They're like, do you have any research that demonstrates? There are probably hundreds of studies. It's very easy to do this. You have a number of resumes.
Yeah. I've heard of this one.
And you just change the fucking name from Jenny or John, and you send it out to a employer, and it's the same resume.
And you tabulate the results.
And men and women employers will tend to call the male resume as opposed to the female.
Yeah, they've done the same with ethnic-sounding names.
Jerome versus John.
Yeah.
Same thing. So if that doesn't prove to you at least there's some bias in society, I don't know what does.
Right.
So when you understand the broader system, it's like, it's not just hiring, but it's like the look you get, you know, the amount of space you're allowed in a room, gender politics in a relationship, obviously getting promoted within a job, societal institutions that have certain, you know, like the Ford Kavanaugh situation. If our society was matriarchal, I think that would have played out differently. I'm just going to take a guess and say that if our society was, 500 years of women rule, I'm just going to take a guess and say that situation would have turned out differently.
So, I mean, I have a friend who asked me the other day, hey, so if you were at work and a female coworker asked to go to dinner, would you do it? And I was
start over what?
If you were at work and a female coworker asked you to go to dinner, like after work, would you do it?
What a weird question.
Right. And I go, I mean, it depends on a lot of things, but potentially, potentially not. Depends on a lot of things. And he said, oh, yeah, no, you'd be crazy to do it under any circumstances. And I said, okay, I'm assuming you're going to some Me Too thing.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, it's completely dangerous nowadays for a guy to do almost anything, blah, 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 blah. And then I started going like, okay.
So I, sometimes I wish I could hook up sensors to my eyes so that you in podcast land could actually hear some indication of me rolling my eyes. Because I'm rolling my eyes so hard right now.
So I was sitting there going, okay, actually, how many people do you personally know are currently, you know, under legal trouble or have lost their job because of a Me Too accusation? Oh, zero. Yeah. Okay. Guess what? Same with me. And I know a lot of people, and a lot of them in the tech industry and in the entertainment industry and stuff like that. We don't know anyone directly. Is that just because we're like the special little snowflakes?
Yeah. And how many of us and the people we know have done things, men and women, that could be called sexual harassment, you know? So the vast majority of, you know.
So my ultimate point was like, look, there's no question that the goalpost has changed from the 90s to now, or the 80s or the 70s to now, because what people used to think was okay, it isn't no, many of those things are no longer okay.
So what I always tell people is like, one, if you don't do anything that is intimidating or scary, or pressuring, then you're probably going to be okay. In the slight chance that someone decides that they're going to frame you, which hardly ever happens in life. I mean, someone could frame you for murder,
right?
You know, like, do you walk around worrying that you're going to get framed for robbing a bank? Because someone could do that.
Oh, I better cross the street because I'm about to walk by this bank.
Someone could rob a bank and
try to frame you.
And walk into your house and spread the money around and the ink packet, and you could be framed and you could go to jail. Right. And there's nothing you could do about it. Well, so what's the chance that a woman's just going to suddenly target you with a sexual harassment frame job? It's possible.
And I'm sure it's happened.
But like, there are worse crimes to be framed,
right.
You know? And if you haven't done anything wrong, you have lawyers that will help you, you know?
Yep.
So as long as you're not doing anything pressuring. So the example, if a woman asks you out to dinner at work, and you go, and then she like claims something happened, what, at the restaurant? Like, how could that possibly hold up in court? I asked him to dinner, and then while we were at the restaurant,
he said inappropriate things during dinner.
Yeah, it's like, what did he say? And then you're saying, I didn't say those things.
I just quoted our president. Oh, whoops.
But even then, it's just like, that's different than employee policy, right?
Right.
Where,
which is what I pointed out.
Right. Which is actually something to watch out for. You know, you don't, what do they say? You don't shit where you eat or something, right?
Yeah. I mean,
like you don't go out with someone at work and then say you say something that pisses them off. They go back to work. They tell an HR person that you said something, or you could just say something like, my boss is a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's
and,
obvious.
And like, you could get in trouble with HR,
right?
Which, you know, okay, I guess that kind of sucks, but that doesn't have anything to do with this anti-Me Too movement. Now, that guy, which I'm assuming it's a man.
Oh, you're so biased.
Yeah. More eye rolling. I should just have a bell when I'm bing, ding. Or some kind of stretching sound like, but.
You know that sound effect in all the movies when the doors open?
Yeah.
That creak sound?
He was likely in an echo chamber on the internet.
Yeah.
Facebook, Reddit, something like
that. Would
it
surprise you to know that he's a big fan of Tom Likas?
Oh, boy. Okay, so we got to rush through this. We got... now, Reddit, did you know the incel subreddit was banned last year?
I did hear about that, actually. Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
For Reddit to ban a subreddit, is because
that's why it was big news, because that that doesn't happen.
Because they did the Alex Jones, or was that just Twitter?
No, they finally did Alex Jones as well.
It had 40,000 members. The group had violated the Reddit policy that prohibits calls for violence.
Yeah,
because of the incel rebellion. I read one article and they provided, just to give you an idea of the sort of things that people would say on Reddit, and trigger warning to people. So legitimate trigger warning, but honestly, well, anyway, so quote here, "I have sluts for managers, flat bitch with no ass and loud, ugly black land whale somehow with no ass either. Both brag about all the dick they suck." So there's something, because I've read a lot of these forums, there's something weird about the themes that you'll see on these incel, MGTOW, toxic masculinity places. They will often talk about their coworkers. I think it's because maybe it's the only place they actually interact with other females.
That's quite possible.
And it's almost obvious how they're exaggerating. And I think they're exaggerating to get upvotes. I think they're actually just making shit up because they want other people to appreciate what they're saying. You know what I mean? If they say something like, "I have a manager and she seems like maybe she's anti-man, but I can't really tell." Like, you're not going to get a lot of attention.
It's actually going to go worse because everyone's going to be like, "Oh, nice cook."
Right. But if you say, "I have sluts for managers," it's like,
okay, this one's on the level.
Yeah, you're like, okay, that slut. How do you know your managers are sluts?
Because they brag about how much dick they suck.
Yeah, right. Both brag about all the dick they suck. Okay, yeah. let's imagine that world. Johnny, your shift is from 8 to 4, and Jane, your shift is also from 8 to 4, and can you make sure you clean the bathrooms? By the way, I sucked a lot of dick last night. Boy, was
how about
it,
you, Jane?
Boy, was it good. You're like, come on, and then just listen to this hatred. "Flat bitch with no ass and loud, ugly black land whale, somehow with no ass either." It's like,
wow.
Jesus Christ. Like, and this is a posting it publicly, right? Now, I've interacted with guys like this. And when you actually talk to them, because from a comment like this, you're just like, they must be like a raving lunatic.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, they're just like a regular dude, Like the guy who ran in Toronto, who ran over the people, by everyone's account, he was just like a regular guy when he interacted with them.
Yeah.
Shy, but in quiet, but, harmless. But
it's like, you never know what's in people's heads, except that when they post online, it's anonymously, you get to see through the...
Well, I honestly think that, we can't discount that some of these people on the incel forums don't have a mental illness like mania. So when you're manic or you're psychotic, you are not thinking straight. You're confused. Yeah. You have delusions. And I know people who will, when they get manic, when they get psychotic, they will go onto the internet, because when you become psychotic and manic, people don't want to hang out with you, especially if it's like your 20th episode, because by then you've really isolated yourself. Well, but you have all this energy and you have all this intent to communicate. And so, you got the internet.
Yeah.
So I know psychotic people who will just sit there for 20 hours a day, just, doubling down
and comment.
Yeah, in this one really narrow area.
Yeah.
So I imagine some of the people in the incel community are like that. It's probably not a majority. It's probably like, 5%, but we can't discount that.
I also wonder about alcohol and drugs.
Right. So
other drugs.
Right. You're upset. You've been hurt in the past. But also, I think that a lot of these people, so you could have some trolls, legit, just people just being like, "Oh, this is fun. I see the game here. I'm 13. That's another thing. Like, how many 13-year-olds are on the incel subreddit going,
at work, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, they're just like, I get this game. Blah, blah, blah. You know, like, how many 9-year-olds have access to Reddit?
Scary. Yeah.
90% of 9-year-olds have access to Reddit these days, because Reddit isn't a banned site. It's not a porn site.
Yeah.
It's just a, you know, it's a regular, you know, aggregator. Aggregator?
Neither is 4chan.
Yeah. It's not an aggregator. It's a, what would you call Reddit? Like a forum, essentially.
Yeah, it's like a bulletin board.
Bulletin board, yeah. But another thing is that I think some of these people might be exaggerating their own rhetoric just because it's sort of fun or cathartic or something. Anyway, so they refer to this incel rebellion, and the incels believe themselves to be kind of like an oppressed class, like they're slaves rebelling against society, or, yeah, or they're women, you know, trying to, march or something.
Yeah.
And they have, there's a, you know, so the thing I should also say is that not all incels, hashtag not all incels. There's plenty of incels who are involuntarily celibate because they're like, you know what? I'm just going to admit that women don't want to have sex with me, and I'm just going to accept that, and I'm going to get support from my friends who are also incels, and we're going to go out together. And, you know, at least I have a friend group.
Right.
And we'll share pornography tips and pocket pussy tips. And
oh, my God.
There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with, you know, a good pocket pussy tip. You know what I mean?
With a good, not bad pocket pussy.
How much lube, how to clean it.
Oh, my God.
You know, like, there's nothing wrong with that. So, but there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
There isn't. There's nothing wrong with an incel, someone who is celibate involuntarily, who wants to hang out with other people similarly. And
can you have, like, okay, so if I have a pocket pussy in one of my,
well, so that's the irony,
pockets,
is pocket pussies actually can't fit in your pocket.
No?
They're too big.
God damn it. Well, but imagine I buy an extra big jacket just to fit it.
Okay.
And then I have my other incel buddy come and fuck it from the side.
Oh.
Does that make us, like, something other than just incel buddies, or?
I don't even, so email, no, I'll tweet Birdo at psychoburdo.com, or psychoburdo.
Oh, God.
Psych0Birdo. Tweet Birdo the answer to that question.
That's terrible.
Okay. So there's nothing wrong with that. So I'm guessing there's, you know, I don't know how, what percentage of incels are totally innocent and nice dudes and
right,
just, and I'm, maybe there's even women incels. I don't know. So there, you know, but there's a certain group of them who think we need to have an incel rebellion. They feel like they're an oppressed class. They need to rise up and take over. I don't know what the fuck they're going to take over. What? They're going to, like it's going to be a coup d'etat of incels in the United States. You know, it's just like, come on. Yeah, it's from what I can tell, it's like a weird echo chamber that's toxic. That's, I almost consider to be kind of like a cult, where it sort of brainwashes you.
Yeah.
Because you find this place in the world where you feel like you fit in, and then you're just fed this constant stream of propaganda. And it's hard, especially if you're disconnected from the world and you don't have anyone else to talk to, it's hard to think straight in that setting, mm-hmm, right? Like the Jamestown people or any other cult, you just get kind of locked into the people around you. It's like, okay, this is what we're doing now. Oh, right. We're going to do the incel rebellion. One person that talks about here, about the guy who ran over all the people in Toronto, they says, this is someone on the internet, I don't blame him for what he did. I blame society for treating low status men like garbage. There will always be more rampages because of the way society treats us.
Wow.
Wow. So look, if you're an incel person or you're a MGTOW person and you're still listening, God bless you. But if you're still listening, I know you're in pain. We're all in pain. I know that you're confused. I know that you've been rejected so many times. We've all been rejected so many times, but maybe you more times than other people. Not just by women, but by everybody. And it hurts. I get that. I can relate to that. I don't have any quick, stupid psychobabble solutions to that. But if you turn to the internet for a solution, you're likely to find the MGTOW people and the incel people. And it's going to feel good at first because they're expressing the pain and anger that you feel. That feels good to find someone who is, you know, expressing right, the feelings that are, some of the feelings that are inside of you. But some of these people on the internet are creating a toxic echo chamber that might feel good, but it's also cult-like, and it will start to brainwash you, similar to Scientology or a fundamentalist religious group or something. And these people are creating a narrative that will prevent you from actually solving your problems. They might even suggest that the only solution to this problem is to kill other people. And there are just so many other ways to deal with your pain and your anger and your isolation and your frustration. And I'm not saying you have to be all touchy-feely with a therapist. What I'm saying is just don't go to the incel people or the MGTOW people or the red pill people. These are a small minority of people in the world, even in the United States. They dominate the fucking internet, but these are very rare individuals. Talk to anyone else. Just you would just walk down the street, just randomly talk to someone. In all likelihood, they're not a MGTOW person, you know? And they will tell you that it's normal to feel pain and it's normal to feel hurt when we're rejected. It's normal to be angry about it. We've all been through it, you know? Find some other friends, anybody. Maybe even grab someone from the MGTOW community and say, hey, could we just hang out, get a burger, and not talk about all this incel, you know, rebellion stuff? Could we just like go to a movie and, I don't know, can we just forget about women for a bit and just have a good, can we go fishing? You know, that's another thing. Get outside, get to the nature.
Could it be like incels going their own way from incel communities?
Oh, I like it. You know, it's a whole big world out there, and 99.9999999% of the world has no idea what an incel is. I talk to people every day about this, and every once in a while I'll just be like, so do you know what MGTOW? I mean, the first time I brought MGTOW up to you, you didn't even know what
it was. I did not know.
Yeah. And so, but to you, if you're an incel or a MGTOW person, you feel like it's the whole world. It's not. It is not the whole world. Everyone knows what it's like to be rejected. Everyone knows what it feels like to be demoralized. Everyone knows what it feels like to be hopeless. And there's so many other paths to take that don't involve this weird propaganda within the incel community. Email me. I talk with people like this all the time. One of the main episodes that I've done about this is called How to Meet a Woman. It's our episode titled How to Meet a Woman. And this was a guy who wasn't a MGTOW or an incel person, I don't think, but he talked like one of them. And I went back and forth with him about that, and it was a bit of a turning point for him, where he thought, because he was heading down a road of hatred and misogyny and into that world of like rigid anger and despair and giving up and creating a narrative that all women were this and all women were that and all women were against him, and they were all essentially the incel MGTOW is this notion that there's this grand conspiracy against men. You know, it's just like, yeah. What? Like, every men and women and queer people, everyone feels hurt all the time. You know, it's a human thing. It's, you know, so I talk with people, email me. Let's have a dialogue. If you're just like, you know what? I don't get feminism. Let's talk. If you're like, hey, no one will talk to me, and I feel like I'm going down the road of misogyny. I can feel it in my bones. Talk to me. Talk to anybody other than the MGTOW incel people. There's a way out. Now, there's no easy answer. I've talked with people like, you know, you'll get answers like, just be yourself, you know, just, you know.
Put yourself out there.
Yeah, go on Tinder. You know, I know that if you're at the point where you're looking to incels or looking to MGTOW people for consolation, you've gone down those roads hundreds, if not thousands of times, and they have not worked. And I get that. So I'm not going to demean your experience by saying, be yourself, go on Tinder, everything's fine, because you're suffering. It's not fine. Things are not fine. And you might not ever be able to do this very easily. It's hard, especially if you're on the autism spectrum or you've been traumatized or you're from a different culture and you don't understand the women in your culture that you're currently living in. Or your parents were weird. I mean, one of the biggest factors, when you have weird parents, you become weird, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. Sometimes in good ways, sometimes in bad ways, you know, or there's pros and cons to being weird like your parents, you know, and, you know, it happens. And it can hurt. It can hurt so bad. It can really, really hurt. But there are so many other paths to well-being and even to get meeting your goals of actually meeting women and having whatever sort of sexual life you want, whether it's monogamy or serial monogamy or polyamory or dating lots of different women or casual sex. There's lots of goals in life. It's fine for everybody. And there's just so many other ways to do it. And I just encourage you, if you're listening thus far, I'm guessing you at least like us. So please contact us because we can help you with that. Any last word, Berto?
Yeah, I would just have three things. If I could give any advice, it would be, number one, look into Buddhism. Number two, take up meditation. And number three, get very, very serious about a hobby. Like, do it seriously. Get very deep into it.
Why Buddhism?
Because traditional, the original Buddhist path was this realization that life is suffering, that suffering is unavoidable unless you change how your mind looks at things and processes them. Because, the Siddhartha, whatever his name was, he was like a king and he had everything. But he realized that no matter if you were poor, if you were rich, no matter what, people were always like unhappy. And then they'd be like, oh, but I just need a bigger house. And then they'd get the bigger house and they're like, oh, I'm still unhappy. No matter what, everyone was still unhappy. So his whole path was, well, why are people unhappy and what can we do about it? And he basically was like, oh, okay. So you're always going to be unhappy because you always want stuff. You always want stuff and you either don't get it and you're unhappy or you get it and then you're unhappy because you want more stuff. And then his whole thing was like, I'm going to basically change the way I think a lot of that was through meditation and whatnot. So that's why I'm saying you cannot sit there and paint this rosy picture of the world for yourself. Sort of like what you were saying. It's not that, oh, come on, just keep trying. It'll work out, right? There's people in much worse situations than you, by the way. There are people that were born paraplegic or with a severe Down syndrome or people that lost like abilities throughout life. They went blind or whatever. There's people that went to the war and came back super injured. You're not in the worst place. And yet all of us have to keep going in some way, right? But so if you're looking for ways to like figure out how to deal with the pain and how to deal with the disappointment of life, I don't think you can do it just by, keeping that chin up and put on a cheery face. But you got to like change your brain somehow. And so I'm just recommending stuff that seems to have worked for other people out there in the world.
Well, thanks for joining us out there. Please take care of yourself because
you deserve it.